Today, watch for lemons. Are cracks appearing in the unstoppable property market? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, if you choose to look under the hood, you can see some changing dynamics across the property market, which may indicate that the recent rises in some areas are easing to the point where the boss of the country's biggest real estate group has cautioned that vendors may need to rein in their price expectations this spring. That's after property price growth eased in July amid concerns of another interest rate rise. CoreLogic's daily home value index showed that capital city house prices are up 0.4% over the first 27 days of July, compared with a growth of 0.7% in June. And as the AFR reported, vendors need to be careful regarding price growth expectations, according to Ray White Group's managing director, Dan White. Buyers are pretty picky, and there is more stock coming through in spring, which will make it more competitive for vendors. Our listing numbers are looking good, though Perth and Brisbane are still tight. Mr. White anticipated a strong start to the spring selling season, but without the price growth of previous years, amid expectations that interest rates will stay high for longer. It will be an interesting market, which we will be watching closely, he said. The top of the market remains extremely quiet, according to Melbourne buyer's agent David Morrell, who specialises in acquiring homes in Toorak. For his wealthy clientele, it's the quietest July I've seen in 20 years, Mr. Morrell said. Normally, June and July are quiet, but there is some transaction activity. We've seen nothing of note. All the agents I've spoken with say buyers and sellers are just not engaging. Mr. Morrell said the lack of buyer engagement was discouraging sellers from listing ahead of the start of spring. We should see a bulk of new listings now, but we're only seeing a trickle, a real trickle. All that's left in the market are lemons and stinkers. No one wants to buy an overpriced lemon. With 4 days to go until the end of the month, Sydney home values were up 0.2%, compared with 0.5% growth in the month of June, according to CoreLogic. And in Melbourne, the weakest performing capital city market by some margin, house prices were down 0.4% over the first 4 weeks of July. That followed a fall of 0.2% in June. The smaller capital cities continue to be the strongest performers, though they're also showing signs of price growth moderation. In the more affordable Perth market, where values have surged 23% in the prior financial year, home values are up 1.8% this month to date, after they rose 2% in June, according to CoreLogic. Adelaide home values are up 1.6% after rising 1.7% in June, and home values in Brisbane, including the Gold Coast, are up 1% in July after rising 1.2% in June. But of course, these are averages, and as I've said before, averages mask. Research House SQM's weekly asking price index shows a similar moderating trend, with falls in Sydney down 0.7%, Melbourne down 1.4%, and Canberra down 0.7% on a rolling monthly basis to the July 23rd date. Experts, including AMP Chief Economist Shane Oliver and Oxford Economics Australia Senior Economist Marie Kilroy, which were polled in the Australian Financial Review Quarterly Property Survey in July, tipped that house price growth was going to fall back to about 5% over this financial year, down from 8% in the 2023 financial year. Delays in rate cuts and talks of rate hikes risk renewed falls in property prices, as it's likely to cause buyers to hold back and distressed listings to rise, Dr. Oliver said. The Reserve Bank Board will meet on August the 6th to decide whether to hike interest rates to 4.6%. A key factor will be the June quarter consumer price index to be released next Wednesday. Our view is that the RBA probably won't hike again unless underlying inflation, as measured by the trimmed mean, comes in at 1.1% quarter on quarter, or 4.1% year on year or higher, Dr. Oliver said just last week. That said, while house prices are easing, both CoreLogic and Domain recorded high auction clearance rates last week as almost 2,000 homes went under the hammer. CoreLogic recorded a 72.2% combined capital city preliminary clearance rate, up from 71.1% the prior week. That was subsequently sharply revised down, by the way, to 62%. The past 4 weeks have seen an average 8% point difference between the preliminary and final auction clearance rates, suggesting a clearance rate around 64% once the results are finalised, according to CoreLogic research director Tim Lawless. Melbourne, which hosted 840 home auctions, recorded a preliminary clearance of just 69.8%. That's up from the prior week of 66.9%, but was again revised down to a final rate of 57.2%. And Sydney's preliminary clearance rate rose to 76.5% from 74.6% the week prior, but again revised down to a final 65.3%. Across the smaller auction markets, Adelaide recorded the highest early clearance of 84.8%, followed by Perth at 70%, Brisbane at 61.6%, and Canberra at 60%, but of course, very low volumes here. Domain's preliminary national clearance rate was 65%, up from 57.8% last week, with both Sydney at 69.4% and Melbourne at 63.2%, recording higher clearance rates than the week prior. But another factor that we're going to be seeing playing out is the number of investment properties coming onto the market, a feature which we noted first in Melbourne, where rules on investment property were tightened by the state government. There, net investment yields, that's the costs of servicing the property relative to the rental received, is negative for more than half of properties. The trouble is, many of these properties are also lemons, given they often need more than just a bit of TLC. Many have poor wiring, have leaks, asbestos, and worse. And now the New South Wales Premier, who has been talking about making property in Sydney more affordable, announced the introduction of a ban on no-reason evictions and an extension of mandatory notice periods to 90 days from 60 days. In other words, owners who use legally permitted grounds for eviction, including if they want to live in their own homes, will have to give 3 months' notice. In these cases, their renters can walk out at any time without penalty. The New South Wales changes are slated to start early next year. And Minns told a gathering of Labour Party members in Sydney that the policy was fair to both renters and investors. The ACT, South Australia and Victoria have already introduced similar rules. This will give both homeowners and renters more certainty, more peace of mind, so they can build a home and a life on surer ground, he said. Now, the AFR's writer Aaron Patrick said that MIMS has caved into populist pressure. Some 2.2 million Australians own investment property. Most accept meagre rents relative to the value of their homes in the expectation the properties will increase in price. In Sydney, the average rental return is around 3%, less than half the 6.3% standard mortgage rate, which is why most rental properties are negatively geared, not positively geared. Many owners subsidise renters on a cash flow basis, he said, including by paying steep property taxes. He said, driven by the trope of the rapacious landlord tossing struggling tenants onto the street, they've created a disincentive to invest in rental property. Sometimes when their costs go up, or they want to switch to short-term contracts, landlords terminate leases. That's not unethical. Many landlords are suffering their own form of rental stress right now. Finance costs are high. Rental increases are limited to one a year. Certainly, I see that more property investors are underwater from a net yield perspective, and I'll be running my models again at the end of the month to see how the new tax bans and higher interest rates are playing into this. But once again, it does already look like some property investors are leaving the field, thus reducing the supply of rental property. Now, true, a first-time buyer might step up, but lending standards at higher rates make borrowing capacity an issue. And the risk I see playing out is that well-meaning first-time buyers will be buying those lemons alongside some ill-informed property investors who still weirdly believe property only ever goes up in value. But just look across the ditch for a dose of reality, as I highlighted recently. There, thanks to slower migration, high interest rates, prices are nosediving. So the question is, will we be seeing a similar scenario in Australia? Or will the government play another card to keep prices buoyant, or APRA reduce the lending buffers? Frankly, on both counts, it's very likely. But remember, folks, a lemon remains a lemon. So in the current environment, buy with great care and prepare for the cracks to swallow up potential price rises ahead. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.